manpower requirements, the additional storage from 3:30 to 3:45 is a dedicated resource to Ketchikan if the need is there, correct?
I believe that's correct, right, Joe? And I think that's how we, what the final determination was on that?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have the project, it's just an improvement on the project. I think it's not a whole new project in and itself.
I take it that way as well.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Joe. On page 11, there's two additional considerations that I think we were asked to address. The emergency operations plan deviation. So this kind of addresses on how we deviate from the plan. There's some bullet points in there. Safety, of course, if somebody's in serious injury or there's imminent death, we can always deviate from the plan. Emergency declaration by utility member, equipment damage, or supermajority vote by this board can dictate deviation from the plan. If a non-emergency deviation is requested by either SEPA or one of the member utilities, a special board meeting shall be held for approval prior to any deviation. So that's new to this year's this operation plan. Pause there. Any questions or comments on that section?
I've got one, and I guess it's for Joel. The last bullet point about a supermajority vote of the board, is that consistent with the current bylaws, or are we putting in a new hierarchy relative to the ops plan?
I read this call as a
2.6.
This is regarding emergency deviations from the operations plan, which requires a supermajority. The ops plan always required a supermajority by the bylaw. So this is consistent.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So we put that in there because we really wanted to memorialize that the board wants us to come back if we hit certain thresholds, re-engage the board, and we just want to make that clear on all parties and for people going forward if we're not here too, that we're consistent in how we do that in the future. And so that was what a lot of that surrounds.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then finally, we were asked on communications on how we can memorialize that. The final section here discusses the operations manager's our primary contact. If he's not available, there will be a designee assigned. And then for Tuesday operations calls, the MEM utilities would have assigned a point of contact for each member utility, and that point of contact or primary contact would be responsible for disseminating information to pertinent personnel amongst their communities. If in the event that there's somebody that should be in the loop, that primary contact would be responsible for that. So it is not always many times SEPA's chasing who needs to be involved, and it's really difficult for us to do some things and manage a mission when we're trying to also manage, well, who really needs to know what. And so if we have primary contacts from each utility, then they could be responsible for disseminating information. And then,
and just to reinforce that, I mean, it got a little, I'll say, over the top when we reached some sensitive times, and you know, we were copying over 27 people or 28 people on just day-to-day operation stuff. And this is an effort to kind of get that back down to where it should be, where there should be a single point of contact in each of our member utilities that SEPA can go to disseminate information, and they can distribute it within their organization. And you know, they need to be a competent person, you know, and be assigned by their leadership and their organization. You know, it was getting to the point where, you know, we're changing email distribution lists almost weekly.
Daily.
Daily sometimes. And it just got a little ridiculous, frankly. So we just want to try to improve how we do that. And I think there's some things that the member utilities can do in their own structure to help that and make sure that those things are being distributed appropriately to the folks within your individual organizations.
That sounds pretty simple.
Any comments on that part? That being said, the last page we'll have to revisit. It'll probably still stay the same, but it does show when I say Swan Lake guide curve, I mentioned that the guide curve on Swan Lake, even though it's not balancing of lakes, it is reflective of 1994 to 1999 average loads and the dispatch. Go ahead.
I was going to say that one's new, right?
That is true.
It may be that's new.
So the 1260, so Trey was just mentioning that really the only thing that's changed is the revised operations plan guide curve values, which is the table in the middle of the section, and then the table below it, the SEPA historical draft limits in the numbers in red. We had an operation or a board meeting that increased. We initially had a 272 value for Swan Lake for draft limit, and during the board meeting we increased that to 280. That was performed last December. And the 1260 is reflective of TAI. Now, there was a board meeting that lowered that draft limit to 1250.
All in 1258.
1258. During one of our special board meetings, this would return it back to 1260.
Any comments on those?
Yes, sir. This is Bob Lynn. Back up, Robert, on your SEPA 2019 revised operations. It would be helpful if we're going to use that is to also add in a line in there to put in your draft that you had for your, not just the curtailment, but for the sales too.
I could do that. Put in the sales curve.
Yeah, and then that makes it consistent with your graph on page 9.
Okay.
So I think that it encompasses this whole body of work, though. This is the operations plan.
Agreed, yeah.
I'm not sure if Bob's following that.
Oh, yeah. So, Bob, what Trey's mentioning here is this suggested motion at the bottom is to approve the entire document and not just the verbiage on that page 12. So that
11.
Or the last page.
Yeah, okay. I got you.
So that being said, we can add that sales curve, but he wanted to, I think, reiterate that point that when we vote on this, we accept the document in its entirety. This is just kind of a brief overview of some of the more pertinent numbers.
So,
go ahead.
Go ahead, Trey. Thanks, Mr. Chair. So I just wanted to talk briefly here. So we proposed some, I'll say, updated draft limits, and we're not going to vote on these today. So currently we're still at 1258 for TAI. And, you know, right now we're holding fairly steady and we're starting to see a little bit turn up at TAI. Last time I checked, I had 1262.5 and Swan Lake was 295.6. So, and hopefully with this deluge of rain, we'll see a little bit more coming off the hill. I think we want to try to avoid burning diesel up north, obviously. I'm comfortable with leaving the 1258 where it is right now. It's hopefully unlikely that we're going to dip down and touch it. But I just want to let you know that's still in play. We're still managing around that number. Certainly, if we started approaching that number, we'd be looking to offset and maybe push some sales north out of Swan Lake for a few days if we needed to try to make the turn, because we're really close here. We're rolling up on May here pretty quickly. So I think that's in everybody's best interest if we can avoid any diesel burn up on the north end to get through this. So just wanted to make sure everybody was clear on where we're currently at and how we're currently managing and how we plan to get through the next few weeks.
So we didn't make a motion to start with. We went through this document, had a good explanation of what's going on, and there's a few revisions that's going to be made. So I don't know if we're going to vote on this today. We don't have to, so we will have this on the next agenda.
We expect some more discussion and feedback, and we're going to do a couple little tweaks from some notes that we've heard today and seek some additional feedback and then look to adopt it. Things aren't moving real quick right now. I think this the body of this document really tries to address some of the board concerns that we had during our workshop. Creating this operational ban for Tyee, where do we curtail, where do we reinitiate sales? We're a long ways away from that. And some of the other mechanics of, reporting structures and things of that nature. So
if anybody has any comments, additions, suggestions, they want to run them through you or...
Yeah, you can send them to Robert and copy me, that'd be great.
All right, so that's what we'll do. We'll continue. Robert's going to take a couple changes to this thing, I think, it sounds like, and bring it back to us.
Mr. Chair, if I can comment?
Yes, you may.
Yeah, looking through this, I really think it needs a work session with the three communities, with the utilities of the three communities. And in particular, I think that Robert and Trey did a great job of making note of action items and things that they wanted changed and incorporating them. But I think that the member utilities also have lessons learned that they want to incorporate in that. So I don't want to see this come out as one-sided. And so I think it would be advantageous to have a work session, the three member communities participate and cite the lessons learned. I think that would be an interesting summary of actions. And then out of that, we make some edits to this plan. What do you think of that?
Well, I think there's time between now and the next board meeting to maybe discuss that. I think the first thing would be to get those lessons learned or suggestions or stuff down in writing so you guys can, when you get into the session, you got something to address. So I think that if anybody has lessons learned, communication, desired changes due to those lessons, I think just get them down in writing so everybody's on the same page and send them over to Robert, and Robert can do what he needs to do with those, and then you guys can sit down. And you're talking mostly utility managers because it's tax for operation stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly.
Okay.
We may find we don't have that much, so.
Yeah.
I would just offer a comment.
Carl, go ahead.
I would just offer the comment that I'm sure you're going to be hearing from Mayor Prashenka at some point, just based on the last discussions we've had at the meetings, and I know he had a lot to say about it, so.
Yeah,
I know he's out of town right now, and it'd be nice to be able to sit down with him and maybe explain some of the nuances of what we discussed here today that he might find helpful.
I think he would really appreciate that.
So anything else on the op plan at this particular point in time? Seeing none, we will move that on to another agenda at the time after you guys had a chance to have some more discussions and make any adjustments necessary. That moves us on to item B, consideration and approval of supplemental diesel costs and reimbursement to Petersburg and Wrangell. Great.
Okay, well, I think we've got a suggested motion here. Might want to get that on the table.
Do we have a suggested motion? I don't see one here. What is it? Okay, you got it there? All right. We have a suggested motion. Go ahead.
Chair, this is Bob Lynn. I move to approve payment to the municipality of Petersburg and Wrangell for the reimbursement of supplemental diesel fuel and overtime, less to 0.068 per kilowatt hour in the amount of $841,785.38 as presented in the diesel and overtime reimbursement memo at CEPA's April 22nd, 2019 special board meeting.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Go ahead, Craig.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, where we left off is in our February 28th meeting, the CEPA board of directors authorized reimbursement based on supplemental diesel and overtime, minus the 6.8 cents. So, Katie's work with the member utilities up north to get their information and disseminate that and get it coalesced down into some working numbers, and so we had apples to apples, which was we thought was important. And so that's what you have in your table here below. You know, I will say that we still have some concerns internally. Obviously, this affects our budget significantly. Also, you know, I will say that it's a little hard for us to reconcile in how we're going to report this with our auditors and such. You know, we demonstrated at the meeting there in great detail that, you know, we follow the power sales agreement. We follow the ops plan as approved. And we're a financially independent organization, intentionally, from the member utilities. Just want to say that's a little bit difficult to reconcile for us in trying to figure out how that works, how that potentially gets reported. I don't know that yet. That's still a little unclear to me. I don't know. Do you have anything you want to add, Kay?
I mean, I'm still kind of where you're at on that. I'm not sure. It's not an expense that we've incurred in generation or transmission. So that then we're giving money back to the member utilities, but it's not a rebate. And I think just before we go through with it, now that we do have auditors selected for this fiscal year, we'll run it past them first and make sure that we've got everything, all the supporting documents to outline it.
I appreciate it.
And to justify it.
I appreciate that. I had concerns in regards to how this was going to do and what you were going to put it under anyway. But having made the motion, and I think this is the first thing we have to clear is the pay the debt that's owed now. But I think there's a larger conversation is when is this reset and we're through this process. And with the operating plan, especially with the operating plan that's supposed to be agreed to on a regular basis, what obligations CEPA has in the future in regard to diesel burns in the communities, of any of the communities. And I think it's a larger question that we have to have because, again, when you sit at this table as a CEPA board member, our first fiduciary responsibility is the CEPA, and it's hard to take off those hats. I understand that. But for this organization to move forward and potentially fund the next increment of power, we got to realize that they have to have revenues to do that, and that comes just from power sales.
Well, to that point, Mr. Chair, we will not more than likely be able to put any money in the R&R fund this year where we've been making a requisite payment every year into that. This year, we're definitely not going to be able to do that at the 1st of June or the end of June like we typically would, the 1st of July.
And I mean, we may be able to add some throughout the year, possibly. It just depends on what revenues are.
Yeah. And so then again, that begs the question of what happens to rebates or anything else, because we pretty well burned those up in diesel as far as I can see.
Yeah. There's no, there's going to be no rebates.
Yeah.
I mean, that's clear.
All right, so we have a motion on the floor in order to pay the calculated amounts for the diesel.
So, Mr. Chair, if I may?
Yeah.
Could we see if Joel has anything to add to the conversation?
Hello, Joel. Go ahead.
Hi. Okay, so, you know, my thoughts on this is that, and of course, it depends on what our auditors say, but seems to me that if this became some sort of amendment to our operations plan, that this payment was being made pursuant to the operations plan. Seems to me it arose out of that. That would at least provide a legal structure for the payment to be made, which our auditors would be looking for. So, you know, maybe. But I know this is on for adoption at this particular moment, but I guess it might be helpful to know what the auditors say, and if we're going to actually, if the board's going to approve this payment, then I might structure the motion a little differently. But, you know, that said, we can always redo it again and do it consistent with what EDO is going to say. So,
correct.
I think there's a way to get there, but I'd like to, you know, I mean, Kay and Trey have raised a good point, and, you know, rather than sort of marching forward without an answer to that, it's probably the prudent step to find out what they have to say and structure the motion consistent with that.
So you're suggesting that it would be in the best interest to table this motion at this time until such time we have input from the auditors is how we're going to structure it?
If you're asking me, that's my advice, but I don't think you have to do it that way. But yes, that might be the very most prudent thing to do.
So the company that provided the diesel has to be paid at some point, and who's holding that bill in their pocket now?
The member utilities.
The member utility.
Yeah.
Okay, so it would be a reimbursement to the member utility for whatever they paid out of pocket to whomever.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Lisa. We have paid our bill.
What's yeah, that?
Baldwin, we've paid our bill too. We just need reimbursement.
Okay. So is there a problem with a deferment until such time as we have an auditor statement on this?
Mr. Chair, this is Lisa.
Yes.
I guess I want to make sure that we're going to get to a point with the auditors that the payment is going to be possible. What I don't want is us going to the auditors for a reason to not make the payment.
I got you.
If everybody... That's what I mean.
Well, I think in good faith, the board and the CEPA staff took actions in regards to reimbursement for that with an undefined amount for sure. And hopefully through the bookkeeping process, we'll get an account appropriate to manage that. But I don't think that in my mind there's a, you know, a potential for us to try to back out of this after the fact, in my opinion.
Jerry,
go ahead.
This is Bob Lynn.
Go ahead, Bob.
One of the things I think that we need to do is that we really would like to see something happen before the end of the fiscal year, June 30th.
Oh, clearly.
Clearly, that'll happen.
Now, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. Now that we've determined who we're gonna continue with our same auditor, we'll
We'll reach out to them. We now know the amount, and we can have a little stronger conversation with them on how that go, how we go about that, and what that might look like, and it's helpful to get some input from Joel as well with regard to how we frame the motion. I just want to make sure we do this right, because it's Kay and I are both uncomfortable with this, and we want to just make sure we do it right.
He's a dedicated felon.
So, this is Lisa, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, go ahead, Lisa.
I'm certainly comfortable with a postponement, because I want the organization to do what's right, what's necessary. But I also think, and Trey, please don't feel like you have to force something on the agenda. If you haven't had time to get with the auditors, I understand you didn't have any place until this board meeting, but please don't feel like you have to bring something to, this is my opinion, obviously, as a board member, until you've vetted it completely, just for the sake of having it on the agenda. I feel like if anything that may need an attorney's review or may need an outside consultant's review, whether it's a random consultant that we've never used before, or the auditors that we have on board on a regular basis, please feel free to get that counsel as you need it before you bring stuff to the board, instead of feeling like you've got to get us something, and then we postpone it.
Okay.
Roger that. Thanks.
So we have a motion on the table. There's been some questions in regards to running it through the auditor to get an appropriate appropriation or account in which we do this, to make sure that we're all squared with everybody. So at this time, I'd entertain a motion to defer until such time as we have clarification.
This is Lisa. I'd like to move to postpone until staff has the adequate answers.
Do I have a second?
Lynn, second it.
We have a motion to defer or postpone and a second. We're going to vote on that motion. Is there any other conversation? Sharon, please call the roll.
Sievertson?
Yes.
Coos?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Von Bargen?
Yes.
Amelon.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That leads us on to the next special board meeting dates. I think there's a calendar somewhere, and I don't know what we have.
Page 18.
Do we have a reason for another special board meeting at this particular point in time that you can see?
No. But I would like to get an answer to you guys and get some backup for the proposed reimbursement payment.
So you can call for us on that. We'll put a special.
Yeah, why don't you let us do some more homework there, and then I'll circle back to you as the chair, and then we'll figure out a time that works for everybody.
Perfect. Sounds good.
I anticipate it should be a relatively short meeting. Then, of course, we'll continue to monitor conditions, and if there's a drastic change in some way, shape, or form with regard to drafting of lake levels, then that might be another catalyst. Did anybody know of anything else pending that we need a response on?
No, thank you. So I think one of the, since we're just going to hold off on you after you get some more information, we'll go ahead and call a special board meeting that works for everybody. So under some comments, I think that Lisa, for your information, and I talked to Steve a little bit, that the contingency here from Ketchikan, we had an opportunity to meet with ADEC and EPA and regards to Title V issues that will affect the availability of diesel at any particular point in time, and if you need some more information on that, feel free to call and talk to Andy or Carl in regards to that.
I appreciate that. I actually, thank you, Mayor, got a call from Ray Matuszewski as well, who gave me an in-depth review and suggested some follow-up communication by both Rangel and Petersburg. And so we'll be following up, but I need to spend some time on the phone with Carl and perhaps Andy as well before I do that.
Thank you. And then for further conversation moving forward, I would like to have a discussion in regards to our present consideration for supplemental diesel costs and when's the reset on that and how that works for all communities moving forward and what that may look like in the future. I think we're close to that point. We're on inflows. Everybody's hoping we're at the turn and the lakes will start to fill and we can stay out of diesel runs. And if that's the case, if that's the reset, then we start looking at the draft limits and when we curtail and when we don't and work into it for next year. So maybe we'll have that conversation at the next board meeting. Is there any other board member comments at this time?
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to say thank you for the depth of information in the revised proposed revised OPS plan.
Thank you for that. Having no other business before us, I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
If there's no objection, we'll stand adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.